All right. Well, I hope this works better. I've got all this stuff hanging off of me. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful world that we live in, that all of this is possible, and that we can invite people down the street and around the world to be part of us. Let us hear your word today and be encouraged to be strong and courageous. In Jesus' name, amen. So I had a little adventure yesterday. I had to go pick up a prescription, and I just have to reconcile myself to the fact that something's not the same as it used to be. I don't know if it's age or something else, but my eyes have never worked real well. Now they don't work as well as they did before. And I go into a store, and with all the lighting and the people and the stuff everywhere and the activity, I don't know if it's a pattern thing, but it does something to me, and I cannot easily process what's going on around me. And it's a little bit scary, but I just had to have my ice cream. So instead of going to the window on the outside that I know about now, thanks to Chris, I went inside the store, and I was going to find my ice cream. I actually managed to find the ice cream. And within a couple of false starts, I found the Bluebell. And when I found the Bluebell and opened up when I opened up the thing that had the Bluebell in it and picked up a Bluebell container, lo and behold, it was exactly the flavor I wanted. And it was pecan pralines and cream. And I felt like the Lord just sort of gave me a little pat on the back, you know, just, here's, because it usually takes a lot more trouble to just have that be the first thing I pick up. But okay. And it did take a little bit. I went to the store, I had to go to the store, and I was going to try and use a service that now hooked up with Walmart that, where you can get an agent to help you, but I couldn't get that to work. But it all worked out. Okay, it's a trip to the store. Doesn't require a great deal of strength or a great deal of courage to go to the store and get some ice cream. But I think that God led me, though, to that ice cream just as a way of saying to me, I love you, son. Here, have some ice cream. But also to be able to share something sweet with you today. To be able to say, you know what, sometimes it's easier to go without. Sometimes it's easier to not do the hard things. And I even thought about doing this. I thought maybe, I know I have to go get it, but maybe I can hire somebody to go get it for me. I think it's not a controlled substance. I bet I could have got favor or somebody to go get it for me. But no, I'm going to go. I'm going to go and I'm going to do it. And, like I say, not a big deal. But even though going into that was frustrating and, yeah, just a little bit scary, but without taking the risk, without doing something that's hard, we don't ever get the reward. But when we decide to be strong, to be courageous, to make those choices, to step out, that's when the rewards come. Now, we define strength When you talk about strength, yeah, there's physical strength, you know, at how if you're able, you know, how much you're able to do, how much you're able to lift, whatever. But then there's also emotional strength. How can you, how well do you weather the storm? How well do you weather the challenges that come at us just because we live in an imperfect world, and people say stuff, and people do stuff, and people die. Just stuff happens. And then to be courageous. To be courageous doesn't mean to have no fear. It means that you choose to overcome that fear. And we may not be physically strong. That's never something I claim for myself. And I was always the kid that got picked on in gym class because I just couldn't do things as well as the other kids. But you know, that is something, you know, maybe we don't work on it because it is something we can change, or maybe it's because we of sickness or injury or disability. It takes it away from us. And emotionally, sometimes the most disabling thing is not whatever physical problem we might be facing, it's the fear that we have. I have seen far more people disabled by their fear than I have by their actual physical challenge, because it stops us from taking those chances. It stops us from taking those risks. It makes us afraid to go out and just live life. Somebody said, I forget, said something about the street out in front of my house, crossing the street out in front of my house. Now, right now, there's road work, and I choose not to go out and deal with that. But there's a light at the end of the street, and well, you know, I got tapped by, not there, it was another place I lived, but I got tapped by a car one time. Am I going to stop living life? Because somebody, no. We have to keep on. We have to keep doing what we're supposed to do. And even that emotional strength, you know, maybe we didn't get the support that we needed growing up. Unfortunately, that happens a lot. I'm thankful that I did. But so many people, nobody ever told them what they could do. Or maybe they were verbally or even physically abused, and it takes some rebuilding to get beyond that. But that too can be improved. You can choose to work on that. So when God gives us a commandment, it's not as we say in politics, it's not an unfunded mandate. It's not something that's impossible. If God tells you to do something, He's going to give you what you need to do. What you need in order to do it. And He gives us the commandments that He gives us for a purpose. And each and every one of us has a purpose. You know, I always say, if you're breathing right now, God has a purpose for you. And it is He who supplies what we need and what we lack. I don't have a big long passage today. I'm sure that doesn't upset anybody. Our focus verse is one we probably all know from Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. I'm reading out of the Lexham Bible today just because that happened to be what I had on hand. Did I not command you? Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be dismayed. For Yahweh your God is with you wherever you go. At the point that God says this to Joshua, the children of Israel has been wandering around in the desert for 40 years because they didn't believe him the first time. it began, there, this wandering began, as you might recall, with the 12 spies that were sent out. They sent out Moses sent out 12 spies, and two of them came back and said, "You know what? God's we got this. You know, God's going to give it to us. Let's go get it." But 10 of them came back and said, "Oh no. Oh no, we can't go. Those people are huge. They're giants. We look like grasshoppers to them. No, we can't do that." Even though God had just destroyed an entire army as he led them out of Egypt and was leading them around by a pillar of fire up in the sky at night and a pillar of cloud by day, even though they had these miraculous signs all around them, they looked at that and thought, "It's too big. We can't do it." Well, of course they couldn't do it. God was the one who was going to do it. And all they needed to do is trust him. But because they refused to trust him, he said, "Okay, then none of you that are alive today, except for Joshua and Caleb, are going to go in." And so they wandered around for 40 years. They were definitely not courageous. The whole nation followed those 10 spies into fear. They didn't trust Yahweh, who had already delivered them several times. But Moses has delivered his final address at this point. You can find it back in Deuteronomy. And he has passed away. Joshua has now been commissioned to lead Israel into the promised land. And this theme, be strong and courageous, is echoed actually several times. We read that, that's the one we typically read, but it occurs several times. Moses, as he speaks to the people, gives his final address in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 1 through 8. I'm not going to read it, but he says there to Josh, to the people, as well as to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Now, he's not going to enter. And the reason why he's not going to enter is because he didn't trust God. He didn't obey God. He let his anger get the better of him. And he didn't do what God told him to do. And God still provided for the people, but because Moses didn't obey him, Moses didn't get to enter in. But he says during this address, it's God that's going to do it. It's Yahweh who's going to drive out the nations before you. Just like he's already done. At this point, they had already defeated the people on the side of the Jordan where they were. They'd already defeated two enemies there. And he said, "We're going to keep going. God's going to do just like he helped you to defeat these. He'll help you defeat the ones on the other side and take what he's given to you." And so Joshua is commissioned then to lead. And Moses again says to Joshua in verse 23, be strong and courageous. And then we have the verse that we just read where the Lord is speaking to Joshua. He's repeated the command three times, be strong and courageous. He's given Moses' position, and he's also given Moses' promise, everywhere you go, I'm going to be with you. And he will not fail, and he will not forsake. Joshua will give the people the promised land. But there was also a condition. You have to obey. You have to keep the law. You have to do what I've told you to do. And the success is going to be contingent. Your success is going to be contingent on whether you do what I tell you to do or not. the people repeat it back to Joshua as they go forward. Only be strong and courageous. And you see this theme not only in the books of Deuteronomy and Joshua here, but you see it repeated throughout the scripture. The people, after Joshua says again to the people, after he defeats the five kings when they have gone into the land, in chapter 10 of Joshua, Joshua then said to them, "Do not fear or be dismayed. Be strong and courageous. For thus the Lord will do to all your enemies with whom you are fighting." When David commissions Solomon to build the temple, that's in 1 Chronicles 22. "Then you will prosper if you are careful to observe the statutes and the ordinations which the Lord commanded Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear nor be dismayed." Notice every time, a lot of times when he says that, that's the next thing he says. Do not fear or be dismayed. Why? Because it's not all up to you. The Lord is going to do it. All you got to do is trust him. When Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, the Assyrians are coming, and they're threatening Jerusalem. In 2 Chronicles 32. And he says it again. And these are just a few. These are just places where the phrase is used. It's okay, we got it. We got to be strong and courageous. But how do we do that? Well, we've got part of it already in the things that we've seen. It starts with obedience. In order to obey him, what? You've got to know what he said. How do we know what he said? Well, we start by looking at his word. And not only then do we have to know his word, what does it say? Don't be just a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. We've got to keep it. And finally, by getting to know him. As we come to know the Lord, then it becomes easier to obey him. For one thing, the more we know him, the more we're going to love him. And the more we're going to want to obey him. But as we come to know him, we come to know his heart, and we come to have a better sense of what that obedience means. Also, we need to recognize the source of our strength. And to fill that in, I want to go back to some other examples. We all know the story of Samson, right? And we don't know what Samson looked like, other than he had really long hair. He could have been a little scrawny guy for all we know, because his strength didn't come from his muscles. His strength came from his God. And that's Judges 15 and 16, if you want to refamiliarize yourself with that story at some point. But God granted him this supernatural strength. But he began to take it for granted. He began to assume that he would always have it. And eventually, he broke faith. He gave away his secret to Delilah. And then because he gave away his secret, and then she then shaved his head. And what was that all about? That was about the Nazarite vow. Samson was one of those who was... from birth designated as a Nazarite. Most people do that for a short period of time, but he he was to be one for all of his life. And if I'd have thought, I'd have gone into, this is already getting too long, so I probably, it's probably good that I didn't. But in any case, his strength was in keeping what the Lord had given him. And so when he was when his hair was cut, of course we know the story, he lost his strength. Because the strength didn't belong to him, it belonged to God. And when he stopped obeying God, it was gone. Now, of course, we know the Philistines captured him, but then as his hair grew back, he made one final prayer to the Lord. He said, "Okay, you know, let me have the last laugh here." Just paraphrasing a bit. And in his death, it says he killed more than he did when he was alive, because he brought the temple down. He brought their temple down on him and killed all those people. And so, in his death, he was redeemed. And the nation of Israel was relieved. Something's not right here. What did I miss? Okay, here's the problem. Let's think about Peter for a minute. We all know the story. I love Peter. Peter gives me hope for me. But Peter actually had great faith. Now we look at his mess ups because they're all reported. They're recorded for us in Scripture. I think they're recorded for us to as encouragement to realize that again, it's not us. It's what God is doing within us. But all of these men had their flaws, and they're recorded for us so that we can see it wasn't about them. But also the thing that these men had in common was that they did have great faith. Peter, we know the story, when Jesus was coming to them on the water, and Peter said, "Okay, and you know, they're afraid because they see him, they think it's a ghost." And Peter says, "Okay, if it's really you, then tell me to come out to you on the water." And we immediately jump to the part where he sinks, but we forget the part that Peter got out of that boat in the middle of the storm and walked on the water toward Jesus. Because he was that convinced, if you're really who you say you are, you can do this. And the only problem he had was when he got out there and got scared and took his eyes off Jesus. And he must have been almost there. We don't know this for sure, but it says Jesus reached out his hand and picked him up. So I mean, that makes me think Jesus could have scooted on over there real quick and got him. But I have the picture in my mind is he's almost there. He's almost to Jesus. But then we see that same fear manifesting itself again at the trial when he denies Jesus, and maybe again at Antioch when he's afraid of the criticism of the Judaizers there. But ultimately he is redeemed. Paul says, we love this verse, right, in Philippians 4:13. I bet you can quote it before I read it, can't you? "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Amen. Well, I reckon if he taught you, you could. But the point, which there's a whole subtext to that. It has to do with some of the things that he said there about being in need and being joyful in all circumstances. We've been over that before. But the point here is, where's the strength coming from? It's not coming from Paul. It's coming from Jesus. It's coming from the Holy Spirit. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it's another one we know well, right? "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a power and of love and of discipline. Fear doesn't come from God. So be strong and courageous. Now, we have a mission. Now, the context here was the call of Joshua and of Israel to go and take what God had given them. But the context for all of us is the same. I've already said each and every one of us has a purpose. Each and every one of us has a call. And he says, trust me. Be strong and courageous. Do what you know you need to do. We too have a mission to which we're all called. Jesus tells us that each of us has an individual mission, but we collectively have a mission as well. And it's stated most succinctly in what Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 28. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." As individuals, we can develop strength. Yeah, we can physically work on our physical strength, but we can also work on our internal strength. Sometimes, well, I would say even all the time, at all the time, we require each other. Sometimes it may take the form of a counselor with experience in whatever particular thing is that you're struggling with. But sometimes it's just your brothers and sisters around you. We support each other. We hold each other up. But focus on the truth. And where do we find the truth? Well, primarily we find it in the Word of God. And then, last but certainly not least, actually I should have put it first in the list, prayer. Why prayer? Because in prayer you're opening your heart to God. And you are opening that line of communication. And I hope, and I know that none of us are very good at this, but and myself included, I hope that we're listening as much as we're talking. Or at least having our spiritual ears open to hear. When we're talking to the Lord, because He will talk back. Now, He may not have a conversation with you. I wish He would, but He will guide your thoughts. That's why I like to write. I think I've mentioned that before. I like to write because my mind just seems to work better that way. I have to think about what I'm going to say before I say it, and as I'm writing, things are coming to me, and the Holy Spirit will often speak to me that way. Everybody's different, so that may not be your thing. That's all right. Just telling you what works for me. We can also develop courage. We can develop courage by choosing to face our fears instead of letting them rule us. We choose to say, "Okay, Lord, yeah, I'm afraid, but I trust in you. I know that I don't have any reason to fear because you're with me." And so we take that step. And we combat those things that are groundless with the truth. And we all have those things that there's no real basis for them. And so we focus on the truth. When you belong to, and I'm going to use an example here that's somewhat controversial, but I'm going to say this with the caveat that I'm talking about people who are truly, who've truly given their hearts to the Lord. One of those things, though, that particularly new people, new Christians who are struggling a little bit, as we all will, that struggle never completely ends, but sometimes you get to thinking, man, maybe it didn't take. I'm having a hard time here. Maybe it didn't take. Maybe I'm not really saved. That's one of those groundless fears. And some, if you're concerned about that, chances are it's not something you need to be concerned about, because you wouldn't be concerned about it otherwise. That shows that a change has already taken place. Now, I say that with a caveat. I mean, if all you're worried about is dodging hell, maybe the change still has yet to take place. But if you're really seeking to serve the Lord and yet you fall and you do something that you really wish you hadn't done, you don't have to be afraid. You take it to the Lord, you repent, and you pick up and you move on. Actually, I'm going to put that differently. You reach up and you let Heavenly Father take your hand and pick you up, because He will. And we put those things that are real, but not very possible, not very likely, in perspective, because we get caught up in that too. We get so afraid of what might happen, when the realities are, you know, reality is it probably won't happen. You know, it might, could, yeah, anything's possible, but most likely it's not. And so we put it in the proper perspective. And recognize that our Lord is with us, because ultimately, yeah, it might happen. There might even be a good chance, depending on what it is. If you're called to be a soldier, I think most of us are past that point. But if you're called to be a soldier and you have to go to war, yeah, the chances of you getting shot go way up. But you choose to do it, because it's your mission. It's what you've been called to do. Maybe let's bring it down a little bit to more something that we might be faced with. Chris talked about it a little bit in Sunday school already. Maybe the fear is just that if I talk to this person, they're gonna just shut me down. They're going to say awful things about me. They might even hit me. I don't know. I just don't think I want to go there. Well, yeah, those things are possible. Maybe not terribly likely to, you know, that it would go that far, but it might, you know, people respond in different ways. But we're called to make disciples. And the first step in that is to find out if they know Jesus in the first place. And, you know, I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody, because I'm an introvert. I have a hard time initiating conversations with people. I mean, I've told you before, I'm, you know, riding the car with my Uber driver, and not either one of us say a word the whole trip. And that's okay. I'm perfectly okay with that. My wife thinks it's just terrible. And yeah, well, there's that too. And I had on the way home, I had that situation. In fact, with that situation in my alley where I can't get to the front of my house, I ended up asking Siri to translate what I needed to say into Spanish so that he could get me where I needed to go. But praise God, we have that technology. That would have been a lot harder to work out in years past. Recognizing that the Lord is our source, that when we start thinking that we can do it ourselves. It's all on us. That's not anything but pride. And you know what? Pride leads to destruction. But when we recognize our source, when we recognize that it's by His strength that we're able to do what we need to do, well then, yes, we can be strong and courageous. Because it's not our strength, it's not even our courage, it's His. He's got an endless supply. So as we start a new year, we think about Bartimaeus. And we just got a handful of people, and some of us are sick and going through stuff. There's a lot of things working against us. We've lost people. It doesn't seem to be stopping. Our health is not what it used to be. And our disabilities just make it that much harder. And those that we want to reach are hard to reach for the same reasons that we're struggling. But we still have our mission. And I believe that God is telling us today, be strong and courageous. Complete the mission that I gave you. Be a light that the blind may see. Speak the word that the deaf may hear, and smooth the way that the lame may walk. I am with you always. Thank you, Lord. We choose to believe that. We choose to step out in the calling that you've given us. Show us the way, Lord, because I don't mind saying we don't know. We feel like we've tried about everything. And even some of the things that might work, we don't have the numbers, we don't have the strength to make it happen. But Lord, that just puts us in the perfect position to watch you work, because your strength is made perfect in our weakness. So let this be the year, Lord, that you show us your glory and your purposes are accomplished. In Jesus' name. Amen.